Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
FreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and everyone's asleep, everyone but me, and I feel like I'm doing this all on my own. I think it's a great theme song for what we do here in the truth community and what have you, because there's an awful lot of scumbaggery and quite frankly I'm tired of it. And actually I lie. That's what everybody in the truth movement says all the time, that, oh, I'm tired of this, I'm tired of that, I don't like being poisoned, I don't like being lied to, etc., etc., etc. Oh, how unfortunate, eh? Because the problem is, if you're tired of something that has an exhaustible supply, like New World Order related scumbaggery, then you're going to be tired all the time, aren't you? Whereas I feel that you need to be capable of channeling your energy a little bit better. You know, let's think about talking to people in a very nice way and being very angry at the same time, frustrated that they don't understand what you're talking about. But not fly off the handle too much, you know? Attempt to be a little bit more accommodating, humor people a little bit more. You'll be surprised how fast all those conflicts you have with everybody kind of melt away, if just with a little bit of politeness. And apparently there's places on this earth that are like that, where everybody's polite to each other kind of thing. And sure enough, yeah, most places. So what are you worried about? Everybody's actually pretty polite to each other, regardless of this New World Order horrible stuff and that they may be brainwashed or you might be a little bit afraid of becoming exterminated or something of that nature. But I feel that we really have to make sure that we take care of ourselves. Mostly in the sense that you don't disconnect yourself from other people. Okay, I feel that other people are a way to help myself. And it turns out it's true. If you have good examples around you, of other people that are pretty cool, know a whole lot of stuff and are generous or creative in other ways, if you're willing to, you know, meet them halfway, as it were, put in a little bit of creativity, bounce some ideas off them, or try and have a little bit more fun kind of thing, then you can create something that's quite wonderful. And I feel that's something a lot of us in the truth movement forget, is we can really create quite wonderful things just being ourselves and just doing what feels right. And I think maybe that wasn't taught later on in school or something like that, doing what's right, having any education in civics. You know, I didn't even know what civics was until I was about maybe 20 or something. It was like, what's up? Yeah, you know, there's a whole crazy world that's inside the incarcerated society in which everybody lives. You know, you can fill several libraries, and in fact, you could fill an entire internet with stuff that they don't teach you in school. Yeah, I'm starting to see what's the point in herding children together early in the morning at a time when their brains aren't working properly. You know what? I think school's quite traumatic. And you know, I think school's a bit mind-controlling, don't you think? You know what? School is trauma-based mind control. Think about it. You herd you all together. This is how trauma-based mind control normally works. You know, cults do it. You herd them all together, sleep-deprived, and they have to compete against each other, and they have to learn a whole new set of rules by which to live their life and all these new expectations and things of like that. And some people swallow this programming. And ironically, when you swallow the programming, what you do is you start to regurgitate the programming because you're actually allergic to it. That's why people who get indoctrinated into school and higher education and a lot of things like that, who have like a PhD and various other forms of lettership for their name, don't have a clue about most things in life and are sitting around drinking aspartame from a can and poisoning themselves to death with umpteen different chemicals in their facial and hair products. It's unbelievable how stupid a smart person can be, especially if they're part of trauma-based mind control. And that's what I think happens to almost everybody. Everybody in some way, shape, or form, smart or dumb or anything. Even people who are truthers who realize all the poisons and everything like that, we still ingest them. We still enjoy them on occasion. You know, it's kind of like treating yourself to a little bit of eugenics. A McGenics burger, perhaps, you know. That'd be quite nice, wouldn't it? A McGenics burger? Huh? With a little bit of melted cheese on top? A little bit of mayonnaise? And some GMO lettuce from Monsanto? Maybe some Italian tomatoes chopped with a little bit of high fructose corn syrup steak sauce? With a brand named 100% prime beef, when it's not actually 100% prime beef and it's actually kind of mystery meat that's partly made out of the 400,000 babies that get chopped up and kidnapped every year in the United States, you know? A little bit of McGenics burger over here. Get a kids combo, a happy meal. That'll put the McGenics on your face.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's quite disgusting and horrific. That's what we do on here on the show. Okay. We're serious now. We're going to take some callers. 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525 is the number to call in, if we can get the caller line open. And
the whole McGenics thing. It was a discussion that we were having on the radio earlier with Christopher Green about the eugenics plot and how they basically don't want us to breed at all. They think, you know, that we're too many people, too many to control, too many to be sustainable. The question I have for them is what's actually the right thing to do? Okay, let's say you do have a population problem, and I don't believe we do. Only 1% of the world's surface is currently occupied by human beings. 1%, okay, is urbanized. The rest of it, flowing country as far as the eye can see. You know, if you think this world is overcrowded, just drive outside of a city in about 10, 15, 30 minutes. You'll be in farmland and open space far as the eye can bloody well see. Okay, there is plenty of space. The only thing that people think, the reason why they think that there isn't any space is because they're all crowded into cities. 90% of the population lives in the cities. Okay, that is a fact. 10% of people live in the rural areas and grow their own food. Now think about the implications of this and what people will indeed have to deal with as a direct result. I have quite some time ago decided that dealing with other people's problems is not a good idea. Okay, it's a bad move because it's not your problem, okay? And you might be forced to have it be somebody else's. My, shall we say, thoughts on how people should treat each other is basically just kind of like, back in the day, allegedly, there was some form of respect for one's elders, etc. But what happened was that respect stopped communication, okay? Like, the adults would be talking about adult stuff and the kids would be talking about kids stuff. And very rarely would the kids actually be told, look, just, I know the stuff that we're talking about as adults seems boring, and I know you want to go off and play and do silly stuff or whatever, and you can if you want. But if you want to learn something, what you have to do is if something's happening, somebody's saying something, and you think it's boring, and you can't just explain it easily and you don't quite understand it, just sit there and intently listen and try and keep listening until you learn something. All right, that's what I've found, is that there's plenty of boring YouTube videos and stuff like that out there, and I find that's what you just need to do sometimes. Just keep listening until you learn something. And it happens with people as well as videos and radio shows and all of that kind of stuff. And I think maybe even you can get a stopwatch ready. You know, how long does it take this particular radio show host to make a point? How long does it take him to feed me a new piece of information that I don't know? You know, it's funny. We all get older every day, and we're rushing around and worrying about all sorts of stuff. And we're getting interrupted by people upstairs with footsteps, and we're getting knocks at the door, and we're getting packages delivered. You know, I'm just trying to relax, bro. Oh, my God. And it seems like there's never a time to just sit back and wind down where you're, like, utterly relaxed most of the time, you know, because there's always something else going on. There's never complete silence, or maybe there's no sound of like night crawling insects or whatever, like crickets or during the day cicadas and things of that nature. The noise of life around you, I think, is actually very comforting. And I've got chickens out the back, and we've got lots of native birds that sing very pretty songs and what have you. And when I go outside, it's actually really quite comforting to hear all those noises of life around me. And we were talking about how a lot of people feel alone in this movement. And some people have gone through really long and really hard lives, and they might be coming towards the end of them now. And they're sitting there trying to enjoy the last of their days, listening to talk radio and getting involved in the truth movement, because they've realized that, hey, the country won't survive unless everybody who can get involved does get involved. And that includes me. Unfortunately, everybody bears this responsibility. Everybody must walk forward together. We don't have much of a choice in the matter. If we want to live in bondage and slavery and having checkpoints every... Imagine going through half a dozen checkpoints on your way to work every day. Papers, please. Papers, please. What sector are you going to? Shoot. Just think of all those sci-fi movies where they swipe cards and have no cash and just credits and stuff all over the place. And there's just those ruthless gangsters at the top with the best technology who just rule over everybody else like they're a bunch of slaves and stuff like that. I mean, hey, we are living in that prototype right now. And it's coming to fruition. So many people are now recognizing that the plan of total domination of the world and the one world government and the extermination of everybody is starting to come to fruition. They can see it now. All the news and all the flags are pointing to it. Okay? And so that's why you need to support, people like me, for $5 a month at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. So you just keep exposing all this stuff that's really going on, trying to help people through it. Everybody needs a bit of levity now and then. Everybody needs a cameraman who's willing to show up to your public meeting and film you and then edit in the slides of your presentation to your to your audience and then put it on YouTube for you in HD for free and design a DVD. I do that stuff for people. We'll be right back after the break. Incidentally, the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. If you can rub it on in there and subscribe for $5 a month, it's just so we can pay all the bills. There's internet, there's hosting costs, fuel and parking when I go to protests and stuff like that. There's batteries that need to be recharged and equipment that needs to be bought. My computer is fudging out. I can't get the caller line up because of the internet browser not working. There's technical issues that are costly to fix. There's going to have to be reinstalls. I need extra computers as well, because what happens is when I'm doing the show, I've got another computer recording the show, and I'm using this computer right here with a microphone recording the webcam, so we can put it up on YouTube every day with pictures of the guests, and if they present relevant photographs. Like, we had a Kiwi activist, Jason Hay from Christchurch, the other day, talking about the earthquake damage and chemtrails, and he's a photographer as well. So he sent me a bunch of photos, and I edited them into the video to make sure that, you know, it was illustrating what he was talking about as he was saying it. So I do put a lot of effort in, and, of course, there's so many more things that we could be doing. I was talking with some of my mates, AJ Mass Creation. He's a little bit of an MC, lives on the North Shore, and hang out from time to time. And he thinks that it would be really cool if we could have a big archive of Vinnie Eastwood show, kind of shows, like the best of sort of thing, just on memory sticks. And people would just have 2 gigs or 3 or 4 gigs or something like that of really, really good shows, commercial free, that they could just pass around to people. They just copy it onto their computers and they take it with them and on their way. And there's so many ways to spread the message of freedom and liberty, and giving the people who deserve it a say, and standing up against mainstream media, and standing up against Rockefellers and Rothschilds, and all of the different methods of eclectic scumbaggery. And most people do not have the time to do it. And I unfortunately suffer from a disorder that I think I've made up. It's it's called employophobia. And I really do feel this whenever I'm about to be employed by any kind of officialdom. It reminds me of what happened to me earlier on in my career, where basically 3 jobs in the telecommunications sector, where I was a very high performing employee, just basically being completely shafted by my employers time and time again, getting into debt and whatever. And the last one that I had was pretty bad too. So basically I had these employment meetings and that kind of thing, and I'm okay and whatever in the interview, but I'm just sitting there feeling this is wrong. And later on, sometimes if I've actually got the job or anything like that, and I actually have to face the prospect of going into work and doing the sales in an office and all of that kind of stuff, you know, I just start to hyperventilate and nearly have a full-blown panic attack. It's really is something that I'm phobic about. I cannot do that. It doesn't mean that I can't work. I work harder than probably 90% of people in the world would ever work if they had the choice to. And I feel obligated because people have been supporting me for so long, and because I've been doing this for so long, to keep upping my game, right? There's so much that I want to do for the activist communities around the world that I simply do not possess the resources currently to do for them. I don't have the time, the staff, or anything like that. I do not have the volunteers, because you must realize that when you're in a position like on radio or at the front of activism with the videos on the YouTube and all that kind of stuff, many people feel that they can contribute. And technically, yes, they can. From anywhere in the world, you can contribute to an international radio show or YouTube channel or things of that cover all different aspects. Like I now have a lot of people across Auckland. When we have chemtrails sprayed here, I'm having people send me those photos of the chemtrails, okay? And that's all going into a big chemtrail video that I'm going to be releasing later on. I've just got to get it finished. There's so much to do, and so little time, so little resources, and for me, it's slightly different to how other people have to live their lives. Everybody's living on the bones of their ass, myself included. And everybody's struggling. Everybody has to work every day and feels it's hard sometimes to get time to relax and to get in a clear head space where you can just enjoy life and that kind of thing without having to head back to the computer to check emails and get more information and watch the news and analyze the particular broadcasts of manipulated scumbaggery henceforth. Okay, it's hard to get yourself into that position, and fortunately, I through basically living on next to nothing for years, and relying purely on the support of mainly my girlfriend, I've built this platform that activists can use freely. If you're an activist and you're listening to this broadcast, send me an email. I will bring you on air. I'll ask you, do you want 1 hour or do you feel that you can talk for two? Do you want callers or not? Okay, this is a platform for you. You can come on here and I want to talk about you. I want to talk about what you want to talk about. I mean, I'll put my own spin on it. A few jokes here or there, but ultimately, you get to determine a point in the conversation, and it's free flow. And the audience actually has the same experience with the show that I do, all right? And I'm very serious about this. If you have a guest on the show and you've never heard of them, and one day to the next on the Vinnie Eastwood show, it's a different guest and a different guest and a different guest. That's why people tune in every day, because you're hearing different stuff every day out of the show generally. I've not met those people either. I've not heard them speak either. I've not seen their website either. So you, the listener or the viewer, and me, the host, are having the exact same experience hearing this person for the first time in most cases. That, I think, brings us together. I want the show to be like a family. And family look out for each other, man. And the listening audience really looks out for me. And they're always, giving me advice, instructions, ideas for products or suggesting me to different radio stations and things like that. I've got tremendous support, but to process that is actually quite difficult. For instance, what did I do? Yesterday, we had a day off on the radio, right? And I forgot that we had a day off, so I was all prepared and dressed and shaved and had my hair done and all that kind of stuff, and expecting to go to air. And it's like, what's going on? Had a guest organised and everything. And suddenly I realised, oh, my God, you know what I can do? I can answer this, I think it was 135 emails from people with different ads or requests for orders or asking how they can donate or this kind of stuff. Really important emails from big people, big guests and all this kind of stuff. I just didn't have the time to answer them until I had a full day off. You know, such is the amount of support and work that needs to be done. It's like trying to catch a waterfall with a bucket, as I've said. And it is really tough, but I feel that because I'm in the position to do it, I must, basically. We're all here to do what we're all here to do. Turns out that I'm in the position to help people get exposure on a global level and to try and help people wake up. Try to help people reconnect with a little bit of their humanity and disconnect from a little bit of the scumbaggery. Everybody has a story, and I'm a, I don't know, I guess a bit of a freak in talk radio to a large degree, where I really do like to listen most of the time, and I do like to learn something that I don't already know. I'd like to go places where I've never been. This is something that I appreciate because basically I'm very limited by resources, basically alone, by where I can travel, who I can see, and what I can do in the physical sense. But here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, you send an email to an activist who hasn't been on radio before or something like that, but they've been fighting hard and researching and documenting and protesting for something like 5 years or something like that, and exposing immense amounts of corruption in your local government. You get an email from American Freedom Radio Network interview request from the Vinnie Eastwood Show in New Zealand. We give coverage to activists and politicians and artists and musicians and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, on the 26 AM FM stations through American Freedom Radio's network, and stations here in New Zealand that play rebroadcasts of the show, like Rush FM and Hamilton and the iFinity network and in the South Island. This is something that we do for you so that you can tell your story, because you have a story to tell, and that's why you need an hour or two. And in some cases we do interviews before and or after the show, because there's so much to expand on, so much new information. Now, people forget that I don't have the time to read information. I get people who send me emails with something like 20 or 30 links, and amidst a goodness gracious amount of text and analysis, I don't have time to read it. If you want to communicate with me, the best way to communicate with me is by voice. Generally, you know, if you got an idea or criticism of me, by all means, call into the show. I mean, well, not right now anyway, because I can't seem to get the my thingy working, but yeah. And you can send me an email, we can arrange a time to talk, I can get your Skype or whatever. It doesn't matter what time of where in the world you are or anything like that, because I know how the time zones work. I'm broadcasting in the UK, and we've got listeners basically all over the place. I've got the hang of it by now. You don't need to know what the time is, I do. And I'll just tell you what time you need to be there at your Skype, and I'll organise it, I'll put it on my calendar, and I do this all the time, man. I love talking to people, and you can communicate a lot better just by direct communication, I think, because sometimes, you know, you get a good loss of translation. You know, things get lost in translation. Now you don't know quite the tone of somebody's voice or how they're trying to put something across. Like, so it might be taken as personal criticism as opposed to some helpful constructive criticism. You know what I'm saying? How some people like blow up because they misinterpret what you're saying across an email or a chat or something like that. You know. It happens, and I find that it happens a lot less when you're actually talking to somebody, at the very least. You know, even do the video chat or something of that nature, so you can actually see the expressions on the face or whatever. Or if you're in Auckland at some point, you know, you can come and meet up with me. I've got some listeners in Nelson in the South Island who are coming up for a Smashing Pumpkins concert on the weekend, as well as a friend of mine who's a contributor to Guerrilla Media, is coming back to Auckland from Queenstown, where he's been living for a number of years. I'm going to meet up with both of them on Saturday. Okay, so I always want to meet people. I always want to talk to people. And just because I don't have time to read a whole huge list of emails and go through research and read articles and blogs and all of that kind of stuff, doesn't mean I don't care. It just means I don't have the time, and I care more about you, and I'd rather talk to you than read what you have to say. You know what I'm saying? We'll be right back.
good is about. There's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. It really is quite a fabulous network, and I'm in the I always find myself in privileged positions. And I always, when people donate or subscribe, I've got these substandard responses that I send out. And this is the thing that I do all the time, because it saves a hell of a lot of time. And it says what I want to say to everybody, basically. It doesn't mean that I don't care or whatever, again. Because in these emails that I send out, I include the fact that all the best things in my life have been given to me, including the position of being this radio show host, and my life itself by my parents, and all my experiences were given to me, most of the equipment, and most of the time I'm completely clad and wearing and using entirely things that have been donated or hand-me-downs or whatever. So it is quite a literal thing in every sense of the word for me. Say that all the best things in my life have been given to me, because everything in my life has been given to me. Friendships and relationships and my wonderful Princess Sarah and all that kind of stuff. I feel very, very privileged. And when you are in a privileged position, it connotes a lot of responsibility. And I feel now at this point, the responsibility to advise other people about how to do certain things, because I do multimedia. So there's emails, there's getting hosts and radio shows and videoing and editing and hardware equipment and all these sorts of specialities and things that I've accumulated over the last 4 years as experience as a media oriented activist. So, firstly, if you want to start a radio show, you can start one today. You go to blogtalkradio.com and you can start a half-hour radio show for free. Or you can start one today by just using a little headset with a little microphone on it. I mean, that's better than I had. Or even if you have a camera, any kind of recording device that you're capable of transmitting into a digital form will do. Okay, I remember when I had to go down around and do radio interviews for the Global Freedom Report on American Freedom Radio with Kiwis and stuff like that. What I did is I had my handy cam, my digital handy cam, and I just closed the lens shut, and then just held the camera up to the person's mouth as though it were a microphone. And then I come back and I capture the video, pop it into GarageBand, and then just get the MP3 off of it, and then just edit it a little bit, and it's prime for radio. Okay? Simple solutions to complicated problems. Okay, it's always a thing. Got to think laterally. How can you do it with what you got? Don't think that you need a big computer. Don't think that you need a professional camera or a professional mic. I didn't. I mean, now I've got these things. All it's doing is enhancing what I was already doing. Okay? That's what it's about. Consistently improve your style, your prowess. It's through your practice and through your experience that you'll actually get better and start meeting new people and start having better experiences in life, because you'll start to attract other people of like mind towards you, who are likewise very good at what they do. Okay, you got to surround yourself with people who know what they're doing, who are very good at it,
and they'll rub off on you. Okay, just like if you hang around with the wrong crowd, they'll rub off on you too. So just pick who your crowd is and do your best. And if it's radio that you want to get into and you want to interview people, you can get pretty much anybody, okay? If you've been astounded, you go to the featured interviews of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. It's not that hard to get people like Bob Chapman or Webster Tarpley or Jordan Maxwell or, you know, there's a heck of a lot of really, really big names on there who through most of them have simply been one or two or three emails, okay? Now, if you're doing shows regularly, it'll take you a long time to individually write out an email, send it to that guest, because I've got to go have like between 5 and 10 guests a week, and I've been doing so for 2 years. And this is how I do it. You have your substandard email, okay? It's an interview request. You go to your preferences on any of your email programs, and you'll have substandard things like, for example, you know, they automatically put your name and your address and blah, 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 blah down the bottom. Well, what you can also do is write out an entire interview request, and you've got to keep it really short, sharp, and to the point. Who I am, what I do, and why I want to give you what I can. Okay? And thank you very much for even reading this email, and we can get you organized for the show with a few short things. Give us your phone number and give us your Skype, and we'll get this underway. It is that simple, it is that quick, and all you do is you new message the person's email just off their website, go to their website, contact. Email this. They have media inquiries. They have personal emails for the people that you want to interview. Grab that, copy paste into your email, send them off your stock standard interview request. It takes seconds. And you've got a top activist that you've always wanted to talk to suddenly on your blog talk radio show that you created the last day. And you've only got a $30 headset and a cheap internet connection. I mean, it is that easy. And I want to help people all the time with everything that I can help them with. If I can't help you with something, I'll just tell you outright, I can't help you because I don't know. But I have a lot of experience in the media field and have been doing it for quite some time. And I'm more than willing to help new people into their roles and come on their shows and give them advice or do whatever, you know, take it or leave it. This, I can only tell you really what my experience has been and how I've made it a hell of a lot easier for myself to make the highest quality radio show with the least amount of work possible. Okay, all of this has been done by myself. 2 years worth of archiving, radio shows, YouTube videos, public meetings, and all sorts of DVDs and everything like that, all done by myself for the most part. And other people have simply contributed by offering donations or pieces of equipment and things of that nature, which reminds me, I'm in desperate need of new iMacs. Okay, I think I'm going to need actually two. I'm going to need one that's similar to the one I got now, the 27-inch quad-core, really, really big, grunty ones with an extra hard drive. I mean, basically modded up all the whoop-de-doos because these things get worn out, and I'm running them up and doing so much work on them, they get full up of stuff that's very difficult to get rid of. Full of content and I've got to get new external hard drives and all sorts of stuff so that I can have one machine for doing and recording the webcam and the radio show with the microphone plugged in and one for editing high quality videos. That's an extra grunty one with a HD monitor
And that we can have the HD monitor behind me while I'm doing the radio shows as well, playing a symphony of pictures of the New Zealand landscape that have been donated very generously by some of the listeners so that people can get a nice background feel. There's a lot of improvements around all the place. We need a new green screen. Okay, something to put up behind me so that when we go into the editing process and we do the show each day, we can actually have things on the green screen behind us, logos and what have you. So just think for a moment of what technology gives us the capacity to do. If I have more machines and more donations, the capacity of what I'm capable of producing goes up. And every single time, without fail, every single time I've received a donation of any kind, it has been put to extremely good use, okay? Some people talk about, like, donating a dollar a day or something to people in Africa. I'll actually expose why those people in Africa are actually starving. The IMF and World Bank, who came in and bribed their dictators and got them to destroy their economies and completely vaccinate everybody so that HIV became rampant from tainted vaccines financed by Bill Gates. Your dollar will go a hell of a lot further and save a lot more lives if you support somebody like me. It doesn't have to be me. There's everybody's got a different flavor, a different taste, and if you simply enjoy having a New Zealander or whatever on the radio and having a bit of fun here and there and exposing a little bit of scumbaggery, then by goodness, George, then come on down to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and donate $5 a month. It's a very small amount, and you accomplish a hell of a lot. We'll be right back after the break.
Alert the masses.
Radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated and Fukushima irradiated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, where everybody is chemtrailed daily and has a part-time job by government mandate as an incandescent light bulb. Such is the nature of the beautiful, clean, green, fascist machine that we have going down here in the fabulous South Pacific. And today, ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special guest, a person of like mind and like taste. It also has a beard. It's Ron Van Dyke. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you, Vinny? I'm so sorry that I guess you got my email messages through Skype.
Well, as I was talking about on the show earlier, I get a lot of emails that are very important that I don't have the time to look at. But you're here now.
Well, I know I was supposed to be on an hour ago, and I laid down about a half an hour ago. I'm just going to rest for a little bit. And I totally went out. And then I got up and I was like an hour and 10 minutes later. And I thought, oh, my God. Anyway, I'm here. You know, it's been a rough couple of days. I don't know if you realize that I was arrested on Sunday in my home. The police came and knocked on my door and started small talking with me. And I really didn't think there was anything until he asked me to step out onto the porch, and I said, no, thank you. He had just finished asking me if I had any guns in the house and if I was alone, both of which I answered truthfully. I didn't have anyone in the house, and no, I don't have weapons in my home. And he asked me to step out, and I said, I can talk to you just fine from here. And then he tried to come into my home, and I said, unless you have a search warrant, you're not welcome in my house. And he reached in, and he grabbed my arm. And I tried to pull away from him, and I said, you're assaulting me. And he said, no, I'm arresting you. And he hadn't even told me that that was his purpose at this point. And anyway, as I tried to pull away, he says, you're resisting arrest. And I said, oh, I guess I am. I'm trying to get away from you. And he came through the door, broke my screen door, and tackled me on the floor, held my right arm from the back up behind my right shoulder. It still hurts, although not nearly as much as it did on Sunday and Monday. It is mending. But anyway, he called for backup, and 8 other police cars showed up. I was told by neighbors there were 9 total police cars here to take me in on a driving without a license violation, and I was in my home. It's absolutely an asinine situation. But I ended up being in jail for the first time in my life, and it was the first time I was arrested and fingerprinted and palm printed and all sorts of pictures being taken at every angle. Probably has something to do with the fact that I'm on my YouTube videos every day telling people their rights and how the state has taken our rights away from us and how to stand in truth, etc. And now I'm fighting my legal battles on 3 different fronts. They're trying to come at me from every imaginable angle. And this is just the latest development in that.
Yeah, I know how you feel. When I first got arrested, it was it's one of the most traumatic and degrading and dehumanizing experiences that you ever have. You suddenly realize that you have no rights. You are a slave. You are in bondage.
Oh, indeed so. I mean, they don't realize. I mean, everybody says, "Well, why don't you have a driver's license?" And I mean, when I actually did, and I talked about this in today's video, I actually, when my license expired in October 2010, I actually sent the state a renewal with the remittance, but I renegotiated the contract, basically saying that I did not need a driver's license because I wasn't driving my vehicle commercially, and I was doing it out of courtesy to avoid conflict. And a month to a month and a half after I sent it in, the state sent back my paperwork, including the check, saying that if I wanted to renew it, I owed them additional money. And it was signed by a lady by the last name of Freeman, which I thought was rather ironic since I've been a free man on the land for the last few years. I've been establishing that. And it was just a curious thing that from the state, I get a subliminal message acknowledging my Freeman status. So I thought that was rather cute. But people don't realize that when we enter into these contracts with the state, what we're basically doing is the same thing that a lot of people do when they stand in court, at least here in the United States, where the judge asks, do you relinquish your rights? And most people say yes. And everything that I signed when I was in jail, I wrote after my name, all rights reserved. People relinquish their rights all the time without even knowing it when they enter into these contracts with driver's licenses.
And they also violate their right to privacy as well all the time, because when you send out emails and stuff like that, if they're not marked private, then they're not private.
Yeah. I see a lot of that disclaimer about private messages. I don't put them on my emails because I've been operating for a long time. I know they know what they want to know about me, and it doesn't matter. And I don't try to cover anything up. I'm very, very open.
I'm the same. Me too.
I mean, I had one friend tell me, "Don't go online and tell people what happened to you." This was Sunday night. Don't do this. And I said, "Well, that's not who I am." I went online and told the whole story from start to finish. And I tend to do that. I tend to just be absolutely upfront and truthful with whatever I run into. My mission in life is whatever's in front of me, respond to it.
And what instilled that in you? I mean, what did your parents do?
What did my parents do? I don't know that I got it from my parents so much. What really instilled this knowledge in me and this fighting spirit, I guess you might say, is being wrongly accused in a lawsuit that's been going on for 7 years this July. It'll be 7 years. And my first two attorneys screwed me, put plainly. And when I started having to learn the law myself and started standing on common law instead of the fictitious other laws that they use in the court and realizing that they are breaking the law, every time I'd make a new common law discovery and start establishing free man status, I would get really excited because I thought, I've got them. But what I've learned over the years is they don't pay any attention to what you've got. They just pay attention to their own rules. But as far as whatever's in front of you, deal with it. That was a message I got from my higher self in this probably about 2 years ago now. Your mission is whatever's in front of you, tell the truth about it, deal with it honestly, how you feel, what you think, and tell the truth about the experience. How is this affecting you? So it's sort of been a thing that I've been living by, and then I started doing the videos, of course, a year and a half ago, and I've been doing one every day since January 2011, usually well before most people are up in my neck of the woods. I'm usually on before 5 o'clock in the morning. 4:44 is my normal starting time. But it's been an interesting journey, and I've made friends around the world, which is how I happen to be talking to you. I mean, my friends from Australia. Do you know Elish Diavalon from Australia?
Nope.
Okay, well, I don't know if she's one of the ones, but different ones have recommended that I have to talk to Vinnie Eastwood. I just have to. And I watched a couple
of... Well, I think you were actually recommended by a listener who said, Vinnie Eastwood, you have to talk to Ron Van Dyke.
Well, I'm one of those dig-nouts, as
well,
you are.
Well, Ron... Is the reason why one of my most favorite phrases is, oh, what a tangled web we weave. A tangled, tangled web indeed.
Yeah, but the rest of that is when we practice to deceive, and that's what our governments have done all along. The whole corporate and financial world is nothing but a mass of deceptions. And people are waking up to that all over the world. And I don't care what anybody says. The mere fact that they would send police to me, that many police responding in that short of time. I mean, he made the call when he had me pinned to the floor with my arm behind my back, and there were police cars everywhere within minutes. So they must have been waiting just outside of my neighborhood, ready to pounce on me. Now, why would they do this?
It's pretty obvious. I mean, this is the thing. Have you noticed how everybody is truth as we ask questions, the answers to which we already know?
Oh, yeah, we do.
But the problem is we don't want that answer to be the truth, and we want somebody to give us a different answer to the one that we don't want to hear.
Yeah, I guess we're all guilty of that at different times in our life, too. I know I've been guilty of wishful thinking and wanting to believe something like the aliens are going to save us or something like that. And, I mean, I still believe that there's going to be a first contact. I really do. But I don't believe they're going to save us. I believe they're helping us wake up. And many people around the world are doing that, which keeps me going and keeps me enlivened. I mean, the outpouring of love and support over yesterday. I mean, the last time I checked, there was over 1,600 views of yesterday morning's video.
That's huge.
Which I think is pretty phenomenal for somebody that's just a talking head and certainly not famous. Except in my own small circle.
Well, I think everybody's always trawling for bad news, you know, and to hear one of their elders pinned to the floor and treated with such utter disrespect and discord for the law, I think really piques people's interest. And of course, the over the top policing as well, the 8-8 squad cars. I mean, my girlfriend's father one time. He wasn't paying full attention. He was like stopped at the lights, and he thought the lights had gone green, so he hit the gas, and he hit a car in front of him. And it turns out it was an unmarked police car.
Oh,
and
boy.
suddenly five other police cars are there at a moment, and he's charged with attempting to kill an officer. And all this stuff. It's just unbelievable. And like a $1,600 fine for like $80 worth of paintwork or something. You know, it's just I think that the police here in New Zealand. And I think it's probably the same for the rest of them. They actually refer to themselves, and this has been admitted, as the biggest gang in New Zealand.
Yeah, it's a criminal gang. They work for banksters, and it's a criminally organized gang that they give them a blanket right to assault people, to break all sorts of laws, plant false evidence. They break so many of the laws that they're supposed to be enforcing. And actually, most of the laws aren't even real laws. They're just statutes that they use to rip people off, take their freedom, and take their property and wealth and money. Everything's about money in this world. But it's changing, Vinny. I mean, I'm sure you talk with a lot of people that are well aware of all the changes that are right in front of us and happening right now. And the people that are paying attention, it's not hidden. I mean, I think they'd like to stop the internet, but I don't think they'll ever succeed in doing that, even though they try. They can't stop the freedom movement. The flame of freedom is burning so much more brightly in the human spirit than it's ever happened before. And people are just not going to put up with the shenanigans of these elite thugs, and that's what they are. And a lot of the elite thugs are going to wake up too. They're human beings, and even though some say they're psychopaths and they have no humanity, I just still do not buy that anybody can be totally devoid of humanity in the universe. Maybe I'm wrong on that. I'd like to think not, though. I'd like to think that spark of divinity is in every part of creation and nothing is excluded, although they've certainly done a good job of eradicating or almost completely wiping out the human conscience. But that's somehow that's going to be reconciled. I don't know what the answer is, but I'm expecting big things to happen yet this year as changes continue to accelerate.
Well, sometimes it's the answers that we seek. I think it's more important to just make sure that you're asking the right questions. Ooh. and not hopelessly holding out just for the quickest answer and everything like that, because understanding your role in all of this, I think, has been greatly advanced by the capacity of technology, and just learning how to use, for instance, Skype and YouTube and webcams and things like that. Like, Ron, has this been a turning point for you? Have you just recently learned how to use all this stuff and broadcast yourself?
Actually, the way the broadcasting thing came out was in December between Christmas and New Year, not this past year, but the year before. And I had written an article called 2011, A Year of Massive Visible Changes. And I posted it on my website, and I don't know how it happened, but a whole bunch of other websites picked it up simultaneously, including the one, Mayan Magic, which is an international website, and I started getting more hits on my website than I had ever had in my entire many years of doing it, since 2004 when I started my website. And I got a call from a friend of mine in Vancouver, Canada, British Columbia, and he suggested that I should start doing videos. And I didn't even own a video camera at the time, but he said, you should be doing the news behind the news. And that whole thought played with me for about a week before on the 11th of January, I went out and bought my first ever webcam, and the rest, as they say, is history. I didn't plan initially to do them every day, but that's how it developed. Initially, I just was reading my article and reading other things that I had written over the years.
And how much did your webcam cost you?
Oh, I don't remember. $60-$70. It wasn't an expensive.
$60-$70, and you make a big enough ruckus that they feel they have to send 8 police cars. This is the power of the individual.
Eight in addition to the one that was already here. I was that was only 1 year.
They were the Nine, like the Ring Wraiths or something. I'm swooping in with their black cape. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, do me a favor, smash the television and burn the newspaper. That shit will never tell you that the president's a traitor. Believe what you want, but my evidence is greater. What you know about the Bilderberg and New World Order? What you know about the real fluoride in your water? What you know about the bleeding uranium in the mortar? What you know about AIPAC controlling the reporter? What's wrong with the world? People kill people that other people command. Middle East is a modern day attack on a native land. Project eugenics planned on the common man, expand the military industrial complex. Annex foreign soil with chemical objects. Vex.
Welcome back.
God for attacking your conscience. Gentlemen. Next, your brain agrees with the offense. Political correctness.
People conscience. This is the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. If you're capable of affording a cup of coffee a month, how about you forego that cup of coffee a month in order to help fund my mammoth quest to expose scumbaggery and also to expose the good people to the light and allow them the basically the podium to talk about, well, all the things that they do and all the things that they've done. Because you know, it's one thing I've found was very interesting, Ron, is that we have so many activists all over the world, in every single country, operating in every single sector, okay? Just like the New World Order is, okay? Except we've done it naturally. I've called it the tactic of the cactus. A cactus covers itself in spines in every direction so that if any creature comes anywhere near it and touches it at all, you'll get a little prick to remind him.
Oh, you want me to take off from there?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're a good place to take off from the adjunct of little pricks.
Well, we've certainly been pricking them. I mean, the lawsuit for me has been going on, as I said, for 7 years, and it made the plaintiff go bankrupt. That's their latest ploy. The plaintiff, because of their legal bills, I mean, their legal bills are in the tens of thousands of dollars, and it bankrupted them. And they've got nothing, so they went to bankruptcy court and they claim that I owe them $130,000+, which, of course, I filed my paperwork today disclaiming that, and I said I've never been under contract with them at any time. I'm not a debtor to them, and you're going to have to prove that I owe it because I don't owe anything to them. The thing that the case never went to trial in 7 years. It's nothing's ever been decided. There's only been allegations. I'm the only one that ever submitted affidavits on and for the record under penalty of perjury. No one else has ever done that. I'm the only one that has established truth. All of my affidavits have been unrebutted, and I've been a pain in their butt and driving up their legal costs while all the time I'm just defending myself. Now, I have some costs, but they're only a pittance compared to the costs of people that are using the attorneys to screw themselves.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. If you want to screw a private citizen who's capable of doing a little bit of research and legal know-how and whatnot and jumping through hoops and finding those loopholes and whatever to try and pay somebody who's of the regular capacity at the regular rate of pay is extraordinarily expensive. And they're like reptiles that eat you up with these allegations. And in fact, you could probably call them alligators, you know, reptilians thing. Eat you up, you know. I'm sure there's a lot of alligators and allegations being thrown around in Florida this time of year. You know, sleeping under people's cars and stuff like that, snipping at the kids' heels when they're trying to go to school in the morning. There's all sorts of these various slithery, serpenty type scumbaggery filth that are rotating around the courts as if they're bullets in a revolver, just waiting for somebody to walk through that courtroom and be stupid enough to agree to play Russian roulette.
Well, I have agreed to virtually nothing over the course of this whole scenario, and I've denied every allegation. I've denied everything by affidavit and on and for the record, as I said. And the lawyer, the most recent time I appeared in court, which was the 18th of this month, the attorney was granted her motion to have my affidavit stricken from the record. I mean, it's absolutely absurd and against the law to strike an affidavit of truth from the record. And yet the judge granted her that motion. Of course, I filed further affidavits denying that and saying there was no contract, and the judge was invalid, or the judgment was invalid and void. And I come up with all these remedies, and it, as I said, it's so exciting, but yet I watch them time and time again, pretend like I didn't say anything, pretend like it doesn't matter what I said, and keep thinking they can go on, but it's catching up to them.
You know what's funny, man?
What's that? Go ahead.
It's like a battle between affidavit and Goliath.
Yes, and David wins. So with properly slung stones that land deep in the forehead of the monster, to use the biblical story that you referred to. This whole wake-up thing, I mean, there's been times that I've been a little bit discouraged. Everybody goes through that. But there's times when I see and hear from people all over the world, and I hear their stories, and I hear how they've made the best of sometimes terrible situations and come out with more and more empowerment, more strength, and ultimately we're going to become more and more enriched. Even though they're trying to impoverish us, we're going to actually become enriched by this process, because everything will work together for good. And I honestly see that, and I feel it, and maybe that's... You know, some people might say that's wishful thinking, they're too powerful. No, truth is much more powerful. Light is much more powerful than the game that they've been playing of the deception and trying to hide all of their shenanigans behind closed doors, and the man behind the curtain is being exposed, and the emperor that has no clothes is being shown again and again all over the world. And there's nothing they can do to stop it. I mean, the evolution of consciousness is in its acceleration mode, and people everywhere, because of people like you, people like me, and there's thousands more of us that are waking others up, and it's a beautiful...
The talk of the evolution of consciousness, I found that it's about harnessing anger, because, you know, no matter how much we talk about it, we talk about how much we want a consciousness shift and we want everybody to get along and try to do things peacefully and civilly. I think that actually does come from a large part a place of anger at the way things currently are. And we don't want to be angry. We don't want to be upset. So we try and find other ways, because anger is the opposite of depression. It's basically, it's a motivator, right? And if you can harness that motivation, that momentum, and you can channel it in a way that doesn't actually come across angry, okay, if you can be cool and reasonable and everything like that, but the reason you're actually out there and the reason you've got the motivation to do it is because you're really upset and you want to make sure that it doesn't happen to other people.
Well, anger for sure is a step up the evolutionary ladder from our apathy, and of course depression is the opposite. I mean, when we get rid of our apathy, though, that we don't care what's going on, it doesn't affect me, so it doesn't matter. Anger is actually a step up when you start seeing what's happening in the world and you start realizing that you have to do something, and more people are stepping into that. I mean, I've been doing emotional healing workshops since 1994. And one of the things that we encourage people to do in the workshops is to express the things that they're angry about, because we've been so repressed and suppressed with our anger. And by just giving people permission to let it out, even with primal screams, if that's what's necessary, but let it out however they choose to do it. And underneath all that rage and all that anger, we always, always inevitably discover a very loving heart that is liberated from being able to express the pain that it has gone through. And this is also part of the message that I share. It's a spiritual awakening of being authentic, being a genuine human being, telling the truth. How do you feel? If you're angry, you're angry. And that's not a crime. In fact, I was raised as a fundamentalist Christian. And one of the scriptures that I use when I'm talking about this is that it says in the Bible, be angry and sin not, but don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And I think that's important, that you don't carry your anger to bed with you and sleep on it, but that you release it in a healthy manner and recognize, hey, there are injustices, and not to be angry is the crime. If we can look at the face of things that are going wrong in our world and the abuses of people on other people and not be angry, there's something wrong with that human being. It's very spiritual to be angry. And we need look no further as those of us that are Christians, is to look at Jesus taking a whip into the temple and driving the money changers out because he was being so nice. He wasn't angry. No, a master could never be angry. I'm being sarcastic on purpose, because we have been given a false sense of what authentic means. And anger is part of being authentic in a world such as we are blessed and privileged to live in, that has so many gross injustices.
Well, yeah, well, the meaning of authentic is a authoritative figure who's like a tick and sucks the blood out of you.
An authentic.
yeah, an authoritative.
You love plays on words.
yeah. Well, you were talking about repressed and all that kind of stuff, and I was thinking that's what our lives are about. We're repressed and redressed, depressed and regressed, and all these wrongs need to be redressed and rewritten.
Yeah, you know,
all the history books and all of the media and everything that's been today, all those lies can simply be rewritten and taken over. Like the derivatives crisis, when they've got quadrillions of dollars out there that are getting everybody massively into debt and that kind of stuff, that doesn't need to be the case, because those are all imaginative things that don't actually really exist. And so by a pure act of imagination, i.e. pretending they don't exist, they go away and there's no problem anymore.
Well, I honestly believe that this year we will see some remedies that will address that issue with debt forgiveness. We already see it happening in Iceland. We all saw how the Icelandic people stood up and said, we're not going to honor that. I think that's going to happen in Greece and Ireland and other places around the world, where people say, this is not our debt. This is a fictitious thing that you've placed upon us, and you want us to accept it as ours, but it's not ours. It's yours, and you deal with it, and they're going to have to deal with it. And one of our rights guaranteed in the American Constitution is to redress grievances. And this is where we're at. We're redressing the grievances of this monstrous state that has risen up and tried to make us believe that it has the authority, it has the rights, and we have to ask permission and beg, oh, please let me drive my car, please let me do this, please let me have a child and own the child, oh, please, please, please. And we're waking up and we're redressing those grievances, which is one of our natural rights, and that's what's happening.
I think what's really important is people to recognize their own importance, their own inherent rights, their own inherent power and sovereignty. Okay, I go to protests all the time, right? And I get shoved by cops all the time. It's and for no reason. All the time, they feel that they need to put their hands on you. They never say anything to you first. They never say, excuse me, can you move back a little bit, please? I'm a professional cameraman there. I'm wearing a suit. I've got the camera out. I've got the audio equipment. I've got everything, you know. I've got the light and what have you. I mean, come on. They just walk right up and shove me. And then I say, excuse me, sir. Please don't shove me. You know, use your words. And then he shoves me again. You know, these people, it just gets you the idea, right, that you give somebody a uniform and a set of rules to follow, and slowly but surely they lose their mind and their humanity. They can get it back, but all you got to do is take away those rules and that uniform and realize that that wasn't them at all.
Yeah, I am showing some videos at my house last week on Wednesday and this week on Wednesday, advanced freedom training, and Fred and Nina, and I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce their last name, but they're the teachers. And Fred told the story of one of his friends that began to learn the truth about what's going on in the world, and he was a policeman near retirement, and he began to learn how the police were actually being the criminals, and he quit the police force like a year and a half to 2 years before he was ready to retire and get his pension. And all of his friends and even some of his family thought he was absolutely nuts, but he could no longer in good conscience operate as a policeman.
Mm-hmm. And that happens, that exact same thing about being a cog in the machine. I hear it from so many truthers. A friend of mine, John from South Auckland, he was telling me the other day about somebody he knew who was selling exercise equipment, and he was starting to get really, really upset, man, because they were selling exercise equipment. They knew that they weren't going to buy it, you know, and he started drinking at work and stuff like that, getting really angry and depressed, and he's just like, man, this is terrible. And on his last day, he sold a running machine to an 87-year-old woman. And he said, "I can't do this anymore." And he quit. And he was being up for promotion and everything. It's just like, sometimes the juice is not worth the squeeze. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Ron Van Dyke. And we'll be right back. Final segment. Coming up, visit the VinnieEastwoodShow.com after the show. We'll have archives and there's heaps of other stuff on there. It's brilliant. I put a hell of a lot of work into it, so you can have all the information you want for free. It doesn't matter. We'll be right back, folks. The groovy, incredibly bad taste music, shockingly bad puns, and an accent that is sometimes unintelligible. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, your daily dose of conspiracy and comedy. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts, and you'll be bugger all use to anybody. You know, if you can't take care of yourself, how are you going to protect somebody else? Okay, those without power cannot defend freedom. Ron Van Dyke is my guest. Welcome back, man.
Hey, and we are becoming more and more powerful. We've always been powerful, but we're beginning to realize it more and more. And about the humor part, a couple of weeks ago, I was privileged to watch a documentary. I don't know if you've seen it or not, called Laughology. Yeah, did you ever hear of that? You have, yes. Okay. Yeah. And the importance of laughter to me was just made so obvious. And I remember going back to one of my early experiences back in the 1970s, which is probably before you were born, right, Vinny?
You will love the coincidence of the year I was born. Can you guess?
1984. Okay. Yeah, I was going to say 1980 something, but I was, you know, because you're awfully young looking compared to my 65 years.
Oh, it's something I get from my dad, a bit of a baby face. Like, I still get asked for ID and stuff like that. I'm like 27. And my dad, when he was your age, he was still passing for his 40s and what have you. So that's why both he and I have a beard, because it otherwise. I remember one time a photo was taken of me without a beard, and I looked like I was 10 years old or something, man. It was atrocious.
Well, I remember I didn't start drinking alcohol till I was 36. you know, it was against my religion. And I mean, I drank a few times when I was a teenager, but from the time I turned 21 till I was 36, I really didn't drink at all. And at that time, I was getting carded and going into bars. I was still getting carded, and I was almost 40 years old, and people were still asking for my card. Although I'm starting to look more my age now, I guess. But in any case, the laughter, the message I got those years ago in one of those spiritual aha moments or whatever you want to call it, was that there were four main things that spirit or God was interested in: light, life, love, and laughter. And I couldn't figure out why laughter was thrown into that mix. But when I watched the Laughology documentary, I realized that the importance of laughter, and I made it up. I realize I've lost it the last few days. I haven't done my routine since last Saturday because of what happened on Sunday, and I haven't even thought about the laughter part all that much. But laughter absolutely makes the whole body come alive, even if you don't feel like it. Like, I was doing the laughter therapy after watching that movie, and I could actually feel like the cells in my body were dancing. So there's something that happens, and I think that will make all of us more youthful if we would laugh more.
Yeah,
throwing that out on your humor part. So humor is important.
Yeah, and I think that's why people listen to this show as well, because it's kind of like when you've got something good for you, it's actually good to get a daily dose of it. So sort of thing like humor's like vitamin C for the brain. And the soul and the body, it basically is vitamin C. You know, it is necessary. You can't produce it yourself in a lot of cases. I mean, I happen to be a natural orange tree dropping off the fruit of vitamin C and all that juicy goodness for everybody to teeth up with their succulent gum nuckiness. You know, it'll be fantastic. And the thing is, with fruit trees, if you've got a fruit tree in your backyard, it's way more fruit than you can eat by yourself, isn't it? That's why people who make jokes and are funny like me want to go out and make other people laugh, because we get to laugh with them. I mean, because trust me, man, nobody will laugh. Very few people will be laughing harder at my own jokes than me, for example.
And when we can laugh at ourselves, that's really healing. And when it gets to the belly laugh, that's when it really starts. You feel it in your gut, in your whole body. And I don't know what it does, what kind of endorphins or natural drugs it's producing in the brain, but you actually begin to feel good.
I got it. Here it is. Okay. You know how we got chakras? You know, you know how we chuckle? Okay. When you laugh, it stimulates your chakra, as in your chuckle chakra.
Well, it's the clown chakra that it activates.
Yeah, in fact,
but the clown chakra.
Well, you know what I was thinking is that you know how the elections are a big clown show, basically. Anyway, was it like that? You pay your $300 and you go in and you run as an independent candidate for the clown party. Okay, now the clown party, basically, you stand up there, you got your big red nose and your rainbow wig and your big shoes and all of that kind of stuff, and you go, "Vote for me, ladies and gentlemen. I'm much less corrupt than the rest of these clowns."
And they are clowns. You know, I watched a video a month or so ago that compared things that Obama is saying and things that Mitt Romney is saying. You know, that's supposed to be the two people that are going to be running for president. I still think there's a good possibility that isn't going to happen, but we'll see. But in any case, there's no difference between them on the issues that people would care about. They come at it from the same angle because they have the same controllers, the same financial interests are telling them what they can and can't do. And so anything that really matters, there's not going to be any difference between the two. They're clowns. It's a circus that they're running, a fraud show. it's a magic show where everything is deception. Everything is sleight of hand. And you know, they've been doing it very well and getting away with it.
It's like a musical, you know. I was just thinking about a musical about Greece's debt crisis, you know. Greece is the word, is the word. It's got debt and derivative crises, like Swiss cheese, da-na-na-na-na. You know. Sorry.
It's okay. So,
all right. Anyway, well, hold on a second. Before we continue, I just wanted to ask you a quick question because we're running out of time. Usually, you know how people self-censor a little bit, and you know they think things that they're very true to them, but for some reason or another, they don't normally talk about it. It doesn't come up in the conversation or whatever. You know, there's a lot of things that we think about that we don't normally say, particularly on radio or on video or public broadcasting or anything like that. So this is the place where I like to invite people to actually explore and elaborate on something like that. We don't have much time for you to elaborate on anything, so if you have anything, go for your life.
Oh, you mean something that I never share? Somebody that's as open as I am and shares every day on YouTube and Facebook?
everybody holds their tongue about something.
Oh, God.
Something that makes them vulnerable.
Well, You've got me there because nothing immediately jumps to mind that makes me vulnerable. I even talked on one of my videos about an incident that I had with an ex-girlfriend some years back now, who called me a liar, and I was so surprised that when she yelled that at me, I slapped her, and I was not proud of that, and I apologized immediately. Because that was so uncharacteristic of me at this point in my life. I mean, that was, as I said, several years ago. That would have been more like me when I was a teenager, but not this person who has been doing all of this emotional healing work for all this time, that I would actually react by striking her. Now, I was so amazingly sorry, and I ended up giving her a $3,000 diamond ring sort of as penance for treating her so badly. I was so distraught by the fact that I had actually struck her in a moment without thinking that she was able to trigger that in me. So if there's something that's probably the most recent thing that would come to mind of something that I'm not proud of. But when I was younger, I had a very violent temper. And I remember one time kicking my mother when I was like 13 or 14 years old. And another time I threw a glass at my sister across the room, and she ducked, and the glass shattered against the wall and put some nice marks in the wall and the plaster. So, I mean, I had a violent temper when I was young, but it had been years since that came out. But we talked earlier about anger. Anger needs to be allowed to be expressed without using violence. Is that already the signal that we're finished?
Well, we've got about 60 more seconds. If we just keep the feed down at the studio, if you want to finish up and give your website out there, Ron.
Yeah, my website is www, of course, metagroups. That's metagroups.info. And my YouTube address is ParadoxMan316, and my Facebook address is ID is the same, ParadoxMan316. ParadoxMan is because someone once labeled me as a master of paradox, because I tackle things from both angles and with equal playing the devil's advocate sometimes.
All right, I'm sorry, we'll have to cut the break. I'm sorry.